Thanks, guys. I want our praise team to know how much I appreciate how much work and effort they put forth to lead us in worship every week. These guys are and ladies are all volunteers. They come in and work throughout the week, and Roger leads all of that, and there's several others who are key in leading that, and we are so blessed by having them every week here to worship and to lead us in worship. And I know that their hearts are really help bring the presence of the Lord into our midst. And let's just let them know how much we appreciate all the praise team. How you doing, Reed? Okay, good. Welcome to week 6 of 40 Days in the Word. And this is our final week of 40 Days in the Word. And I know that you have gotten as much out of this as I have and have been blessed if you've been doing the studies and been a part of the small group and you've committed to taking God's Word, to living it, to loving it, and to learning it. And that is what our goal has been for the last 6 weeks. And again, I truly believe that we have taken a leap forward in our growth and our commitment to God's Word. And I'm so proud of our church for the response that we have. We added about 8 new small groups. We have 260 plus adults here in the church. Plus, we sent out material and curriculum to other places as well and who are participating and following us online. And so it has just been a great 40 days, 6 weeks that we have been in God's Word. And but we're not done. This isn't we do it and now we're just going to go back to our old habits, right? We're in God's Word and we're going to commit to move forward in the quiet times that we've established and in the ways that we've learned to study God's Word. And I hope that you have gotten so much out of learning how to take God's Word for yourself and not relying just on someone like me or a TV evangelist or someone on tape or another person to tell you what the Word says, but for you to find out what it says and what it means. And we've hoped that it's my prayer that we've given you the tools to be able to do that. One thing as a minister, we're often guilty of telling you to do things, but not equipping you to do them. It's like taking a kid who can't swim and throwing him in the pool and say, well, swim. You know, it doesn't work that way. And sometimes ministers, we're guilty, say, well, hey, study God's Word, learn from it. And it's like throwing a kid that doesn't know how to swim into the pool. And so we've really have tried hard to give you the tools so that you can study God's Word on your own. And if you've not been here the last 6 weeks, I encourage you to go online and you can listen to all of our messages over the last 6 weeks. It's www.ellettsvillecc.com, and they're all listed there. You can also order some CDs, which reminds me, if you ordered the Never Picture Perfect CD series that we did, Brad, Kristen, and myself, we took 3 weeks and talking about marriage and family relationships, and it's never picture perfect, is it? We have those available for you out in the foyer as well. So I want you to be able to take these and these messages and go back and listen. And it's helpful just to re-listen to some of them, even if you were here, to especially the last 2 weeks where we really talked about the mechanics of translation and the mechanics of studying a passage. Well, today we're going to conclude and we're going to take the six verses that we learned over this 6 week period, and we're going to use those today to teach us how to integrate this God's Word into my life. And if you've been in a small group, you participated, you have the keychains, we have the weekly memory verses, and those are going to be the basis of the scriptures that we're basing our message on today of how to integrate God's Word. If you don't have these, don't worry, I'm going to tell you what those passages are, and we can still get some of these nice keychains for you, and so you remember and have those with you. You can just pull them out and reference them. So how do I integrate God's Word into every area of my life? You see, we have a habit of sometimes of segmenting our life, don't we? We want to say, okay, God, I'll give you control over this area and over this area, but you know what? Over my finances, Lord, I'm not sure I want you to start meddling in those areas. Over my relationships with this certain person that I have that may be inappropriate, I'll give you some of this and some of this. We can't do it that way. See, with the Scripture, we have to integrate it into our entire life, into every aspect of our life. And that begins with desire. I have to want God's Word in my life to infiltrate every area. Now, as someone who's been a Christian for about 30 years, I have been learning along the way. And I can look back at my life, and especially in the last 3 to 5 years, and see how I have grown in my faith. Now, I have lots of areas to grow in, trust me. My wife will tell you exactly which areas I have to grow in, but we all have to grow. But for me, I know that the more I integrate God's Word into my life, the more I have the desire to integrate it to all of the areas and not just some of them. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is found in the book of Psalms. It's actually Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. I memorized this when I was in fifth grade at church camp. I don't know if any of you had the opportunity to go to church camp as a kid, but I did, and I loved it. And one of the things that you do at church camp is you get divided into teams. And these teams usually will work through the week and compete and to do different things. One of the things that we did was we had a list of scripture that if we memorized these scriptures, we got certain points. And the team with the most scripture points got a pizza party. And I was all about that. And I can distinctly remember learning Psalm 1:1 at church camp because those were the points that got me my pizza party. Now, as an adult, as a camp leader, we said, well, I don't know if we should be tempting people with pizza parties to learn the scriptures. They should just want to do it. I don't care how you learn the scriptures. I don't care what it takes to get it in you. Just get it in you. And if it's going to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to treat myself to a pizza party if I learn, you know, those 20 core scriptures that we talked about in the small group, then do it. Whatever it takes, because this word is in my heart regardless of the motivation that got it there. And Psalm 1:1 tells us about desiring God's word. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on that law he meditates day and night. We have two examples of how we can judge our life, how we can make decisions, and what's going to influence our life. We can make the example of the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Those would be everybody around us. Or we can delight in God's word. Now, I'm not saying you can't get godly counsel from some of your friends. But in general, if we look to sources other than God's Word, we're going to be misled. Now, there is a place for godly biblical counsel from trusted people who then they're getting it from God's Word. But let me give you an example. It reminds me of my brother. Now, I'm going to tell a little family secret here, and a little family dirt. My brother has been married 3 times and divorced 3 times. Now, I'm not judging him based on that, but here's where I am judging. He is the one who is first and quickest to give me marriage advice. Now, I can listen to the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, and listen to him on marriage advice. Or, you know what I could do? I could meditate on God's Word. Which do you think is going to be a more reliable source? God's Word. And I have to desire God's Word. Psalm 119:20 says, I want most of all and at all time to honor your law. Referring to the Scriptures here. And so what I want us to do today is I want us to look at 6 ways that we can integrate God's Word into our lives. 6 ways that we can take what we're talking about. And when we study Scripture and when we go through space pets, and all these other things that we talked about over the last 6 weeks, how we can integrate those things into our lives. And they're the 6 verses that we've memorized during these 6 weeks. So, point number is this. If I'm going to integrate Scripture into my life, I need to build on it. Matthew 7:24 was week 5, I believe. Matthew 7:24, and we talked about this verse from the very beginning. Everyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. We need to make this the foundation, the rock, that we build our house on. Because what happened to the house that was built on the sand when the storms came? It got blown away. It got washed away. But those who build their house on the rock, and the rock refers to God's Word, he says, is a wise man. And if we can make this our foundation for our life. Because there's some unreliable foundations that I think in our culture we tend to build our life upon. We tend to build our life upon a foundation. The one thing I think that we tend to build our life on is what popular culture believes. And that's not a good way to build our culture and or build our lives based on what culture believes. And we look to those who are around us to gauge what is true and what is right and what is wrong in this world. And that's not accurate, because we know that when we look around, culture is often wrong. And let me give you an example of that. Here's how culture is often wrong. Now, I'm not trying to belittle anybody here, but I want to talk about an example. The biblical view of how to build a solid relationship in a marriage relationship specifically, and what we would see in popular culture of how we tend to build marriage relationships. Because here's the reality. Over 50% of all marriages end in divorce. Some of you have been through that and know the pain that that causes. Now, you would think that if we're going to build our life on God's Word, that it would be a little bit different in the church, but it's not. It's actually the same amount. And that's because sometimes we're not building our life on the truth. We're building our life on what popular culture believes. Let me give you an example. Here's how popular culture says you should build a relationship in your life. It says, first of all, you have to go out and find the right person. You have to go out and find that lady or find that guy that is just, you know, the dream date. And then, you go out and you go out on this hunt and you find that person. Well, then the second thing you have to do, once you find that dreamer, that dream hottie or hunk or whatever you want to call that person you found, you say, okay, well, now I need to fall in love. Oh, I'm going to fall in love. And then once you've fallen in love, you need to fix all your hopes and dreams on this one person, and they're going to be the fulfillment of everything that you've ever imagined a relationship to be. Well, then there's a fourth step. If that fails, and a failure occurs, then all you have to do is repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. Now, if you look at that, you see that finding the right person isn't always all what it's cracked up to be. Falling in love is not something that just happens. And then when you fix your hopes and dreams on one person, you're going to be sorely disappointed when they're not the person you thought they were. But here's how the Bible would tell us Bible's prescription for a relationship would be, one, instead of finding the right person, we need to become the right person. We need to become the right person by studying God's Word and growing in our relationship with Him. And instead of falling in love, we need to walk in love. Because love is a choice. We have to choose to put somebody else's needs above our own. It doesn't come naturally, does it? So we have to choose to put value in this person. We have to choose to love this person. And then 3, instead of fixing all your hopes and dreams on this one dream boat person, we need to fix our hopes and dreams on God and honor Him through the relationship. Because bottom line is this, many relationships today start in a way that does not honor God. And one of the biggest ways that relationships start and they do not honor God is a commitment to sexual purity until marriage. And when that is bypassed, when that is forfeited, God cannot bless that marriage. You say, well, Chad, you know what? I've been involved in this relationship and we're sexually involved and it's just great. Well, I want to ask you a question. How much better could it be if you were living a life that honored God through that relationship? You see, here's the difference. But even in those type of relationships, failure sometimes does occur. And here's my prescription. If that happens, then you repeat God's prescription, step 1, becoming the right person, step 2, walking in love, and step 3, fixing your hopes on God. You repeat those steps until God blesses you with the right person. See, do you see a little bit of a difference there, what popular culture says we need to be doing and what the Bible says? See, we need to build our life on the rock, and popular culture is not a reliable source for truth. Another way, sometimes we want to base what is right and wrong and truth is on tradition. Oh, the way we've always been, or the way we've always done it, or my family, we've done it this way for years. Just because it's been done a certain way in your family for years doesn't mean it's right. Just because churches operate in certain ways for many years doesn't mean it's right. We have to look to God's Word. Tradition is a poor substitute for God's Word and truth. Another poor substitute, an unreliable foundation, is reason. I'll rely on my own intellect, and if it sounds logical, then I will go ahead and do it. How many of you have ever done something and you said, man, at the time it just seemed like the right thing to do? You ever say that statement before? It just seemed like the right thing to do, but it wound up being what? A horrible mistake. You see, sometimes we could avoid some of those mistakes if we would follow the prescriptions that we find in God's Word. And so reason, just because it sounds good, doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. As a matter of fact, there are some things in God's Word that are counterintuitive. It means this, that if you follow God's Word, sometimes it may sound like the absolute wrong thing to do. But if it's in God's Word, we can know it's the right thing to do. So we can't count on popular culture or tradition or reason, or we can't even rely on emotions. If it feels good, it must be right. Because our emotions lie to us all the time, don't they? They lie to us and tell us if it feels good, it must be right, and that's not always true. But it also lies to us on the other end. That if I don't feel like doing it, then I shouldn't. Most of the work that is ever accomplished in this world is done by people who don't feel like doing it. You ever been on an exercise program before? Yeah, and when you commit to going to the gym at 7 or 6 in the morning, and it's 20 degrees outside and snowing, and you're driving up to the gym and you're getting out of your car, you're saying, man, I really don't want to be here. But what happens if you say, I don't want to be here, so I'm not going to do it? You pack on the pounds again. Read, right? Is that what happens? Not to you, but to me, right? Good. Emotion lies to us often, and we can't rely on emotion. So what we have to do is we have to be sure that we're in God's Word, we're studying God's Word, and that we have found this reliable and trustworthy to base our life on. Now, I already talked about several weeks ago why we can trust God's Word. And now it's time to get it into our life by building our life upon it. Well, there's a second way that I can integrate God's Word into my life, and that is this, to feed on it. The Bible is often called spiritual food, right? We talk about a baby craving pure spiritual milk. It talks about that meat, that we move to the meat of God's Word. And so there's this analogy often used between God's Word and food. And it says that we need to feed on God's Word. Now, let me give you an example of this, that if we're not feeding on God's Word, we're not going to be prepared for the battles and the challenges that we face in life. See, we don't need to go on a biblical diet because our idea of diet is removing food. We need to go on a biblical smorgasbord, okay? We need to go on the buffet line with God's Word. Let me give you an example. You know, if you were an army general and you were facing battle, would you send out people in battle who had not eaten for 2 or 3 weeks? No, of course not. Why? Because they're hungry, they're going to be tired, they're not going to think straight, they're not going to fight a very good battle. Sometimes we talk about God is doing surgery in our heart, and if you were a patient and getting ready to have surgery, and your doctor walks in and he says, oh, I haven't eaten in about 3 weeks, I'm starving, well, let's go ahead and do this delicate surgery, you'd say, whoa, buddy, wait, go get some food, rest up, and then you can do surgery on me. And the same thing is true with God's Word. We cannot be prepared for the battle. We cannot make the changes to our life and in our heart if we take 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, or an extended period of time away from God's Word. I need to feed on it. Colossians 3, chapter 16, which is, I believe, week one. Our verse for week one is this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you richly. Not a snack. Not a energy bar just to get you by. But let it dwell in you richly. Well, how do I go about that? Well, we've already talked about this. I want to review what we've talked about. The first thing, the way I receive God's Word and for it to dwell in me richly, is I need to hear it with my ears. Well, how do you do that? You make a commitment to being at church where God's truth is proclaimed. You make a commitment to listening to others. Maybe you put a Bible on CD or MP3 or whatever it is, and you can listen to it. There's lots of different ways. But we know that receiving it by our ears only is not the most effective way, because what we forget 95% of what we hear. Guys, men, you and I, we forget 105% of what we hear, don't we? And so we need to add to it. We need to say, I can receive it with my ears, I have to listen, but I can also read it with my eyes. And by reading God's Word. But we know that listening to it and reading it, we're still not studying it or looking into its meaning. And so I need to research it with my hands and mouth. Remember the difference between Bible reading and Bible study? What's the difference? Writing it down, using a pencil, reading it. And exactly the things that we talked about the last couple of weeks, where we talked about how to interpret Scripture, we need to do that and research it. Well, I also need to reflect on it with my mind. That means I need to think about it when I'm not in it. We need to think about it occasionally. Anybody here ever talk to themselves? Thank you. I know there are 2 or 3 of us. But I talk to myself a lot. And it's good to talk to ourselves about what we've read in Scripture. A great time to do this is in the car. Now, I want to share with you something that happened to me many years ago. One of the ways that I prepare for my messages is as I'm traveling, if I have an extended period of time in the car, I will go through the sermon in my head, but I will actually verbally articulate it, and I will preach my sermon in my car to my air conditioner vents. They're like, you know, my listeners. And there was one time, I'll never forget, I was really into it. I mean, I was moving. Those air conditioner vents were going to get converted on this trip. And so I'm driving, you know, and I pull up to the stoplight, and I look next to me, and there's a car of a couple of teenage girls looking at me, laughing hysterically because they think I'm some nut job. And that's okay, because I was reflecting on God's Word. And then I can remember in my heart by memorizing it. I really hope that you take these verses that we've learned and that you commit them to memory at some level. I don't care how you do it or what the motivation is. What's important is that you have it in your heart. And so I need to feed on it. And I need to receive it, read it, research it, reflect on it, and remember it. So how do I integrate God's Word into my life? Well, first thing is I build on it. The second thing is I feed on it. The third thing is I live by it. I live by it. Well, how do you live by it? Psalm 119:11, and this is what we were talking about here in memorization. Psalm 119:11, week 4 of your memory verses, says this, I have hidden your words in my heart that I might not sin against you. You see, when we have God's Word in our heart, it allows the Holy Spirit to do something unique in us. And that is this. When we have God's Word in our heart, one of the job descriptions of the Holy Spirit is to remind us of the things that we have learned and that we have memorized. And so when we don't have our Bible with us, and we're going through a situation in life, The Holy Spirit has a file in our mind that He can access and remind us to help us overcome a temptation. It can help us have confidence when we're sharing our faith with somebody. There was a time when some Jehovah's Witnesses came over to me, and I tell you what, I was on a roll because they were telling me all the things that they believed, and I was countering everything that they believed with Scripture. And I was able to point out to them, now here's the thing. Someone asked me, because they were witnessing to them, like, how in the world did you remember all those things? And I said, I didn't even know they were in there. I memorized them at some point, but the Holy Spirit was doing His thing and bringing them up, and I was able to articulate those Scriptures. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, what was His defense? He could have easily cast Satan aside. But what did He do? He quoted Scripture. See, when I start feeling down and depressed, now I'm not talking clinical depression where there's a real chemical imbalance, but when I'm feeling beat up by the world, when I'm feeling down, when I'm feeling like I just want to give up on my relationships, or I want to give up on my job, or I want to, you know what? When I feel like that, the Holy Spirit reminds me of the promises that I have found in God's Word because I've committed them to memory. You see, this is the advantage of hiding God's Word in your heart. And you say, well, Chad, I can't do it. Once I start talking about memorization, some of you guys are like, oh yeah, I can't memorize anything. here's what I found, because I've used that excuse too. And I struggle with memorizing things, but here's what I found true. I believe anybody can memorize Scripture. You want to know how I know that? Because we can memorize the things that are important to us. See, if you tell me, you say, Chad, I can't memorize, I will have a 5-minute conversation with you. I will find out what is important to you, and then you will be able to tell me everything that there is to know about whatever it is that is important to you. Guys, you say, I can't memorize anything. I'll talk with you, and you'll say, oh, well, I love baseball. Oh, okay, what's your favorite team? The Cincinnati Reds. Oh, yeah? Tell me about Johnny Bench. Oh, Johnny, tell me about Pete Rose. Oh, he had this. And you'll be able to quote to me every statistic from Pete Rose or Johnny Bench. Maybe it's cars. Some of you guys, I can't remember anything. What kind of engine is a car? Oh, that's a 3.8-liter six-cylinder sequential fuel injection. That thing's got 350 horsepower in that thing. That thing can get up and move. Well, I thought you said you couldn't memorize anything. Ladies, you have your things to you too. And sometimes I want to use that excuse. Some of you, I'm interested in aviation and airplanes. I can tell you what kind of airplane it is. When I go to the airport, I can tell you if it's a Boeing, an Airbus, a 737, 67, 70, whatever it is, because I have interest in that. But here's what I find as a thing. What I find that's interesting is this. I think the reason why we can't memorize Scripture is that we've not made it important enough for us to memorize it. See, what you value in life is what you will remember. And it is my prayer that we have value in God's Word, that we will memorize those Scriptures. So I need to live by it, by having His Word hidden in my heart. Well, number four is I need to grow through it. I need to grow through it. Psalm 119:18, which is week two, says this, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Open my eyes so that I can see the wonderful things in your law. We need to keep growing in our faith by having our eyes open to what God's Word says. We've talked often that the Word of God is often compared to a seed that takes root in our heart and then it bears fruit. We talked about that last week. If we're not connected, if we're not abiding in Christ, you have to be connected to the root in order to bear fruit. See, we need to do that. And there's a great parable here in the book of Luke, chapter 8, where Jesus talks about soil. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Luke, chapter 8. It's the parable of the sower that many of you may have heard about and understand. And some new things have been opened to my eyes in this. And it talks about four different types of soil. And those soils represent the hearts of people. Now, I always thought and always understood this, that you are one or the other of these four types. But rather, I believe there are more attitudes that you and I have. And at any given time, you and I can have any four of these attitudes in our heart when it comes to receiving God's Word. And so Jesus tells this parable. It says, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. And then he goes on down. While a large crowd was gathered and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went to sow his seed. He was scattering seed, and some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked out the plants. Still, other seed fell on the good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And so he talks about these four attitudes that we have. See, this, the first one that he talks about here, he talks about that some of the seed, God's Word, fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air came and ate it up. Well, he explains what he means by that in Luke chapter 8, verse 12. He says, those are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes along and takes away the word from their hearts so they cannot believe and be saved. That's a paraphrase of that. That's in verse 12. The hardened soil here represents a closed mind and a narrow mind. See, the footpaths and the culture at that time, they were narrow. They went between the crops. And they were narrow, and because people walked on them to access their crops, they were hard. You know, sometimes I think that this is our attitude when it comes to God's Word. We have a hard heart and a narrow mind. We don't want to hear what God's Word says. We've already decided in our mind that we said, well, you know what, I know what the Bible says, or I already have my mind made up. You're not going to change my mind, Chad, about reading some scripture because I already believe one way. That's a hard heart, folks. That's a narrow mind. And we have to be willing to be open to God's Word. How many times have you ever said, I know what the right thing is to do, but I just don't want to do it? Have you ever said that before? That's basically saying, you know what, God? That seed is not going to penetrate my life. I'm not going to let it. And what happens? The birds eat it up. The birds eat it up. What does it say? They did not believe, and they were not saved. Well, let's look at verse 6 here in Luke 8, which gives us our second attitude sometimes. Some fell on the rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Now understand the topography on the time in Israel, it was a lot of bedrock with a very thin layer of soil. And so it's just a shallow soil. What happens is a plant may begin to grow, but because it cannot get roots deep enough, when the winds and the heat comes, they wither up and they dry. Verse 13 of Luke chapter 8 says, the rocky soil represents those who hear the message with joy, but yet, like so many plants, they don't grow very deep in their roots. And when difficult times come in life, they wither. See, the shallow soil represents a superficial mind. You know, I know a lot of people who sometimes will have a bumper sticker that says, God is my co-pilot. Or they'll have something that talks about how, you know, they love the Lord. Or maybe their Facebook post is all about, you know, about something that's churchy and God. And then if you look at their life, that's the only thing that represents anything godly. See, I don't care what bumper stickers tell me. You know, you may read Chicken Soup for the Christian Soul, but if you're not letting God's Word dwell in you richly, it's all superficial. If your life is not a reflection of the truth that you believe in, then it's really not a Christian walk at all. It's superficial. And sometimes we get all excited and like the idea. There are a lot of people who like the idea of being a Christian. They like the idea, but they don't like the actions that are required, the transformation that God's Word demands on our lives. So we have to be willing to grow through it. Well, there's another we talked about in here in Luke chapter 8, verse 7. Luke chapter 8, verse 7. Let me go back there. Says this: other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked out the plants. Wow. This is probably, if you were asking me, Chad, what is the biggest sin of our time today? I would say it's not all the immorality that we see in the world. It's not all the crime. It's not all these things. I believe that for the average believer, for people like you and I believe it's this. See those thorns, the rocky thorns that grow up? That represents our busyness in life. That represents our busyness in life. See, 14 says this in Luke chapter 8. It says the seed that fell among the weeds were those who heard, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, they're choked by life's riches and their pleasures, and they don't mature. See, I believe busyness is one of the biggest barriers that you and I have to growing in God's Word. Here's the problem. Oftentimes, we want to take God's Word. We want to have time in God's Word. We want to be transformed and do things for God, but we simply want to do it as an add-on to our already busy schedule. And let me tell you something. You're already too busy. You don't have time to simply add on your faith. What has to happen is your faith, your commitment to God, your commitment to service has to replace something that's already in your life. It's the old saying, sometimes you have to say no to the good to say yes to the best. My wife and I early on made a commitment that we were not going to let our kids get over-programmed by activities and different things that they can be involved in life. And so we said, you know what, we're going to let them pick and choose one activity that they can be involved with at a time. And there are some times where they say, well, I want to do this too. And I say, you know what, which do you want to do more? And as our kids get older, it's neat because I can say, how has God gifted you? Which one fits in better with the way God wants you to grow in your life? And we tell them to say no to some things. And I've had parents come up to me and say, Chad, you are robbing your children of opportunities. Opportunities to grow, to experience these things. They're only young once. And I said, you want to know something? You're exactly right. They're only young once. And I may rob them from an opportunity to play a sport or to be in a program or to do something, but I'm not going to rob them from the opportunity to have this Word planted in their hearts because they're only young once. Busyness, I believe, is the biggest sin that you and I commit because we take God's Word and we say, well, we'll try to add it on. Folks, we cannot add it on. If we're going to live by this way, if we're going to feed on it, if we're going to live by it, this is we have to understand that this has to take priority in our lives. Commitment to gathering together as believers has to take a priority in your family's life. And until it does, everything else will always be more important than God's Word and growing in faith. So, what do we have here? So far, if I'm going to incorporate God's Word in my life, I have one, I'm going to build on it. I have two, I'm going to feed on it. I have three, I'm going to grow through it. And I want to listen to the last type of soil here as we grow through it. And that's a seed that fell on the good soil. And the good soil is this: a willing mind in a cooperative life. A willing mind to hear God's Word and to cooperate and do what it says. To say, okay, Lord. To say, remember we were challenged in our small groups that we're going to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to agree to do it even before we find out what it is. That's the type of attitude that fourth type of fertile soil that produced a crop tenfold was a willing and cooperative spirit. See, these are the attitudes that you and I can have. I choose to have the cooperative one. Am I always successful? No. But I strive to be there. Well, our fifth way we can incorporate God's Word into our life is this. I need to act on it. James 1:22. I think it was week one. No. Week three. Boy, I was really off on that one. Week three, James 1:22, which says this. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says, right? Do what it says. We have to be willing to do what it says. Well, how do we do that? Well, we learn to study God's word. We have that cooperative heart. In our small groups, if you've been participating, we've been going through and we've been talking about pronouncing God's word as a way to meditate on it. We've been talking about picturing it and how we can picture as we read the scripture that we're actually there. How we can paraphrase it. How it's important for us to be able to take the words that are in the Bible and be able to say it in a way that applies and makes sense to us. We need to personalize it by like reading John 3:16 instead of saying, for God so loved the world, that for God so loved Chad, or for God so loved Reed, that for God so loved me, that He gave His one and only Son. That if I would believe in Him, I will not perish, but I will have eternal life. We talked about personalizing it, then we talked about probing it, and then finally we talked about praying the verse back to God. And we talk about doing these steps of meditating on God's Word through the devotional method of Bible study, and that will help us act on it. All of our small groups have been participating in a Micah project. And our Micah project is based around helping somebody else out. That we're going to serve people in a different way. And I've been so excited to hear the ways that all the small groups have been practicing it. One group went down and they helped clean up the baseball fields because baseball season's coming. Another group said, hey, you know what? We're going to be missing a lot of people for the next 2 weeks here at church because of vacations and spring break and all that kind of stuff. We're going to commit to step in and fill in, whether it's substitute teaching, whether it's greeting at the door. And they're helping out all over the place this morning because we have many teachers who are gone on spring break this week. And we have some groups that are committed to go down to Back Street and help out there and to distribute clothing at different places and do all these wonderful things. It's acting out and doing God's Word. We need to act on it. And this is just a glimpse, a tip of the iceberg of the things that God has in store for Ellettsville Christian Church and how we can act on what we believe. Again, I can't express to you enough the importance of being at our meeting on March 25th at 6:30. Because we're going to learn a lot more about how God wants us to act upon His words and minister to our community here. So we act on it. Well, finally, today, the last way that I incorporate God's word into my life is to trust on it. To trust in it. Trust in it. Our verse for that is Psalm 119:105. Which is, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Where is it? Oh, there it is. Week six. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. I'm sorry. And a light unto my path. You know, we need to trust it. We talked in our second week about why we can trust God's word. Why we can build it as a foundation. And I have to trust it. How do I continue in the God's word? How do I continue to build myself up in His Word? Well, the first thing is that we commit to continuing abiding in His Word. Now, many of you have started, many of you have told me that you've started to either have a quiet time where you read God's Word for the very first time, or it has bolstered, as we've gone through the small group, it has bolstered your already disciplined quiet time into looking at God's Word more in depth. And I want to say, I want to encourage you to continue to do that. I want to encourage you to commit to stay in the Word daily. I also want to encourage you to continue in your small groups. We created 8 new small groups for this study. We have over 260 adults involved in this Bible study at some level. And I want to encourage you to continue in your group. And maybe you've come here and you just picked up in the last couple of weeks of our study here. I want to encourage you that it's important that we take what we learn on Sunday mornings and we distill it even a little further by going into a small group. Well, Chad, what's a small group? A small group is this. It's a group of 8 to 10 adults where you come together and you study God's Word. You talk about it. You encourage each other and you build friendships and relationships through those groups. And I want to encourage you, if you are still not in a small group, or maybe you just started coming recently and you haven't had the opportunity to be in one, I want to encourage you to sign up for one. All you have to do is on your perforated attendance tab today, tear that off and write small group on it. We have small groups that meet every night of the week. Throughout the week, some meet in homes, some meet in businesses, some meet here at the church. And we want to encourage you to participate and get involved in one of those groups. And so I encourage you to do that. And then also, if you're in a small group, you should receive your small group leader a 40 Days in the Word covenant card, which is simply a card that says, I'm going to continue. I'm going to make that effort to continue in God's Word, to continue daily studying God's Word. And that's why we trust in it, by living it, by incorporating it into our hearts, and by continuing to abide in Him, to be connected to the vine, so that we can bear fruit. Folks, I have enjoyed these last 60 days so much. I trust that you have learned and that you have grown. And that we don't just take this and say, okay, check, got that one done. Now we're off to, what's our next sermon series, Chad? What are we going to talk about next? But that we would continue with the principles that we've learned over the last 6 weeks and incorporating those things into our life, and that we continue to grow into the likeness of God. Would you pray with me? Would you pray with me? Would you pray with me?